KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today as we take a break from some of the ongoing issues that are going on across our nation to talk about a very important topic. One of the comments that we often receive as a radio network is from listeners who express their appreciation for airing the old hymns of the faith. So many of these songs are rich in biblical doctrine and theological truth, but there are others that we sing out in praise to God, and there are those that are devotional and minister to the heart. I'll not forget, in 2015, I had some minor surgery, but unbeknown to me, I had blood clots that were forming and went through my heart into both lungs. It was pulmonary embolisms, and it was doubtful whether I was going to make it. As a matter of fact, I coded in the emergency room at the hospital. I had an absence of both pulse and blood pressure. I'm not going to go into all those details because I'm here before you today. The Lord brought me through. But here's what I want to tell you about. It was some weeks later when I was able to return to church. And in that first service I was back at, one of the hymns that we sang in that service was a hymn called Day by Day. You know, actually, I couldn't hold back the tears at the time, and I'd like to share just some of the lyrics from this song. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials there. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. That verse goes on. Let me quote the second verse. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor in Power. In that third verse, help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take, as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. That particular hymn spoke to my heart as I knew how fast the doctors had to work, how critical every single moment was, every day that the Lord himself was near me with a special mercy for each hour. I felt that as I sang that hymn and was overcome with tears at that time. Many of you likely could relate similar stories of how a hymn ministered to you. It had some great meaning for you. And what deepens the meaning of a song is when you've learned what's behind it, who the author is, what are the circumstances that we're going through when these hymns were written. Well, today on Crosstalk, we have a guest that has researched so many of these beloved hymns of the faith and the stories behind them. It's our privilege to welcome back to Crosstalk Robert Morgan. He's a writer, a speaker, he's a pastor, more than 35 books in print, more than 4.5 million in circulation. He's been with us previous discussing 100 Bible verses that made America, and today is with us discussing the three-volume set entitled Then Sings My Soul. Robert, nice to have you back today.
Well, thank you, Jim. And your hymn was a Swedish hymn. It was written by a lady named Carolina Sandelberg in the late 1800s. She was called the Swedish Nightingale. She was a wonderful Christian. She encountered a terrible tragedy in her life when she and her father were out sailing on a commercial boat. And he fell over, and they weren't able to save him, and he drowned. Hmm. But out of that tragedy came so many of her wonderful songs. And I think that a lot of the great hymns have a very poignant story behind them, and it's what gives rise to the richness of some of those verses that we love.
Yes, amen. How long have hymns been around?
Hymns have been around for 3,400 years. The first recorded hymn is the biblical hymn in Exodus chapter 15, when the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea and they began singing just spontaneously a song that I think Moses must have hastily written. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider fell into the sea. And then we have hymns all the way through the Old Testament. We have hymns in the New Testament, including some that I think the Apostle Paul wrote and wove into his works. And then after and of course the book of Revelation is full of hymns, but after the biblical era is over, then instantly Christians began writing hymns, originally in Greek and then in Latin. And so we've had hymns from every generation of Christians, and the biblical hymns go all the way back to Exodus chapter 15.
That's amazing. And even as the Lord walked upon this earth, I can't forget, Robert, when they had that Last Supper, it says, and after they had sung a hymn, they went out. They went to the Mount of Olives at that time.
Yes, and Jesus knew many or all of the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
As a human being, I suppose he memorized them. You know, he was also God, and we don't quite know how all of that works. But he would often quote from the Psalms, and so they were very deeply etched in his minds. And, Jim, this brings up something that is a passion to me. I think that all of us need a hymn book in our heads. One of the reasons I've written Then Sings My Soul is to reacquaint people with the great hymns. We have the words and the music on one side of the page. We have the story on the other. But we've got to get these hymns circulating in our heads. We need music that is constantly playing in the music chambers of our mind.
Why? Why
songs
do we need that?
Worship. Yes, that's a very important spiritual discipline that has almost been forgotten today.
Hmm. Why do we need that, Robert?
Well, it's next in importance to meditating on Scripture. I've written a book called Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation about the importance of doing what Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 mm-hmm. says, and Psalm 1 says, that we've got to meditate on Scripture. And I try to memorize and meditate on Scripture, but sometimes when I'm tired or at a particular time, it will be a verse of a hymn that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And next to the Scriptures, now the Scriptures are unique. They are inspired. They are infallible. They're in a class all to themselves. But next to the Scriptures, the greatest mental therapy we have is letting the great hymns of the faith circulate through our minds.
Robert, what drew you to spend so many hours? I mean, in this three-volume set, there are many hundreds of hymns that you have researched and written their stories. What caused you to spend so many hours in researching these and then documenting them for us to benefit from today?
Well, they just mean so much to me. I can almost give you my autobiography in hymns. I remember as a college youngster not knowing what I was supposed to do, but I would walk in the woods near our campus and just pray, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Much I need thy tender care, which is a great hymn. When my wife was dying last year, she had multiple sclerosis. She was almost 2 weeks to be cognitive. I was lifting her in my arms into the bed, and she was confused, but she started saying something, and I listened carefully. She said, my gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. And I recognize that as a verse from Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing by Charles Wesley.
Yes.
That was, even when she was confused, that was circulating in her mind. And then we sang it around her bed, and we sang it at her funeral, and we did it triumphantly. So I grew up in a church that sang a handful of hymns and a lot of gospel songs.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I learned a lot of the classic hymns I hadn't known before. But they just minister to us. They give us serenity. They give us strength. They help us to worship spontaneously. And it's a wonderful addition to our spiritual lives to have a handful of hymns that are as dear to us as old friends.
Do you believe that we're in danger of losing these hymns of the faith? Are we in jeopardy of seeing them of yesteryear, that we're going to lose them?
Yes, I think so. I think that because I travel around and I speak in many churches, and I'm glad for the opportunities. And I'm not critical of newer music. I think that every generation needs to write and sing their own music. But I don't think that we should lose everything that has come before. And some churches will only sing things that have been written in the last 6 or 12 months. And I'm a little alarmed at that, because the industry right now is pushing the contemporary Christian music in such a volume that none of the songs last in popular usage long enough for us to learn them.
Yeah.
a congregation may sing it very exuberantly. And there is a lot of exuberance in a lot of the music. Again, I don't want to be critical of that, but it comes and goes like a bullet train. And we need the ability to reach into the riches, the treasury of our hymnody, and have some classics that we'll sing when we're 5 years old, when we're 25, when we're 75, when we're 95, that will be lifelong friends to us. And we just can't afford to lose some of these great hymns.
Robert Morgan is our guest today. As we mentioned, he's a writer, a speaker, a pastor, more than 35 books in print, and has authored the series, Then Sings My Soul. The song I referred to, the hymn at the beginning of the program, Day by Day, you gave us some of its history there. Matter of fact, it's in Volume 1, page 155, but there are many hymns, as you've indicated, that have been written at a point of deep crisis or trial or even tragedy. Think of another hymn, if you would, share the story with us that comes to your mind that was written at such a point.
Well, the best known hymn of all is, along these lines, is It Is Well With My Soul. And many people who don't know very much about the history of the hymns know this story because it has often been used as sermon illustrations, but it has to do with Horatio Spafford, who was a Chicago businessman, and he lost their son died, and then he lost all of his investments in the Great Chicago Fire. And then he took his wife and three daughters to New York to go to England so they could have a time of recovery, and he was going to catch up with them later. And the Ville de Hove, which was the ship on which they were sailing, crashed into another vessel and sunk, and his wife was barely spared. She was found clinging to a piece of floating timber, but his daughters did not survive, and he immediately went to Europe to be with his wife, and he was told when he passed over the graves of his children, the watery graves, and out of that experience, he wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And by the way, Jim, the original handwritten copy of that is on the wall of the American Colony Hotel in Jerusalem. I've seen it a number of times there. But that's a wonderful and a deeply moving hymn, and it came out of the grace that he found following a terrible tragedy. And not all of the hymns are from tragic circumstances,
right, right.
But some of them are, and they tend to be especially meaningful to us.
And they do, and they minister to us in times of crisis or trial ourselves or time of loss of a loved one, and we can praise God for those who encourage us even as we go through times of sorrow as well. We're going to take a quick break. Robert Morgan, our guest today, our topic, Then Sings My Soul. We've got a lot more information to share with you today on the program. We'll also be sharing with you how you can obtain this three-book series, Then Sings My Soul. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast does Niagara Falls erode?
Chris, based on historical measurements, the falls has eroded upriver approximately 5 feet per year. In the early 1800s, when Sir Charles Lyell was promoting his millions of years concept, he used Niagara Falls to support his theory. Lyell claimed it was eroding at less than 1 foot per year, thus was tens of thousands of years old. This, he claimed, disproved the Bible. But in reality, Lyell ignored the evidence of rapid erosion. In fact, the erosion rate and the distance of erosion almost exactly points to the Great Flood of Noah's day as the start of erosion of the river's valley. The fact is, Charles Lyell was wrong, and the Bible's still right. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Wow, what a program of ministry today. Robert Morgan is our guest. He has put together just a wonderful set of books called Then Sings My Soul. And we're going to delve a little bit further into them, though I would like to make mention that this three-volume set, Then Sings My Soul, between the three volumes, there are hundreds of hymns. Is it probably close to 400, Robert, in the books?
Yes. Yes, there are. And we have not only the stories behind the hymns, but we have the music and the words.
Right, the music.
I keep a hymn book on my desk for my devotions along with my Bible. Everybody needs a hymn book.
And, friends, these are there some close to 400 songs. You'll learn about the hymn writers, the circumstances they were going through when the hymn was written. You'll also, as he mentioned, you'll have the music score there with all the lyrics. These include songs like "How Amazing Grace," "How Firm a Foundation," stand up for Jesus," "Just as I Am," "The Solid Rock," and hundreds of others. These three books normally retail for $59.97, but this month our VCY bookstore is celebrating their 24th anniversary, and during August, this is one of their special features during the month, they are offering this set at 45% off the regular price, and making them available at just $33 plus any applicable tax or shipping. This does end August 31st, but they are available online at VCY.com. You'll find them featured right there, VCY.com, or you may call the bookstore during their business hours, which are 10 to 6 p.m. Central, Saturday from 10 to 4. The number is 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. But these are great for your church staff, your director of music. They can be used for devotionals, teaching illustrations, introductory remarks made by song leaders, and for your personal growth and edification as well. Just to have on your desk, on your nightstand, on your coffee table to pick up and just read one of these stories. But you can, through August 31st, they're offered at $33 at vcy.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. Robert, one of the great hymn writers was Fanny Crosby. Tell us about her.
Fanny Crosby was born in New York City, in New York State, and she was blinded when she was only 6 weeks old. She had an infection in her eyes, and a doctor someone claiming to be a doctor prescribed a poultice for her eyes, which blinded the baby. And so Fanny was virtually blind. She could maybe see a little light and darkness, but nothing more the rest of her life. Her mother was very distraught, but began teaching her scripture, and she memorized vast portions of the Bible. And then she went to New York City to the School of the Blind and became a star pupil there and a poet, and even read a poet for Abraham Lincoln when he visited. And then she was converted. She made a glorious conversion to Jesus Christ in an evangelistic meeting. And her scripture memory and her poetic gifts merged together, and she started writing hymns so quickly and so prolifically that we have thousands of them. And a handful of them, everybody who grew up in church has sung over and over and over again. She was absolutely remarkable. She was very independent. She lived up into her 90s. She lived in the slums of New York so that she could work in the rescue mission there. And she would memorize her poems as she composed them in her head. She would have maybe 20 of them memorized, and she would go into her publisher and just recite them as the secretaries wrote them down. And in this way, we got the great hymnody of Fanny Crosby.
Amazing, amazing. And one of those well-known songs, many will recognize, Blessed Assurance, which you cover in your first volume on page 182.
It's a wonderful song, and it's very interesting. This is a song in which the music came first. Fanny, I said that she lived in the slums, but she had some very wealthy friends. And one of them was Phoebe Knapp, who owned a mansion, I think it was in Brooklyn, but it was in New York City, with a music room. And Phoebe was a great Christian and a contributor to Christian causes. and also a musician herself. And so Phoebe was staying with her for a few days and went into the music room, and Phoebe Crosby sat down and started playing a piano melody she'd written. And Fanny Crosby clapped her hands and she said, "That melody says, 'Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.'" And instantly she wrote that great hymn upon hearing Phoebe Knapp's composition.
Wow. Amazing.
And it was just a remarkably catalytic moment. The Holy Spirit must have been there because we're still singing. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said she wrote thousands of hymns?
She did, yes. There are still Fanny Crosby manuscripts that I'm coming across, lyrics that I didn't know. So she was, Charles Wesley were the two most prolific hymnists that we have. They both wrote thousands of hymns.
Could you name just a few more that Fanny wrote that people will recognize?
Well, she wrote, praise him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer.
Mm.
And she wrote, "To God be the glory, great things is done."
Yes.
But my favorite Fanny Crosby hymn says, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide?"
Your books are entitled Then Sings My Soul, Volume 1, 2, and 3. And that phrase, "Then Sings My Soul," people recognize from the wonderful hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Tell us about that hymn.
Well, that hymn was popularized during the Billy Graham Crusades, especially the New York City Crusade in the 1950s, when it was sung over 100 times. But the hymn itself has had about a 100-year history. It began as a missionary hymn who began writing. There's a Swedish minister who was overwhelmed by the beauty of the Carpathian Mountains. And so he wrote a poem called, in Swedish, "O Stor Gud," or "Almighty God." And it was published, but sort of forgotten. People, it never became widely sung. But there was a English missionary who heard this hymn in Russia. And his name was Stuart Hine. And he was so moved by it, and he also knew the Carpathian Mountains, and he began developing the lyrics of this song and a further incarnation of it. And then in India, there was a man named J. Edwin Orr, who I actually met when I was in college, and he heard it being sung in India, and brought it to the attention of a music publisher named Tim Spencer. And there's a very interesting story in Volume 3 about Tim Spencer, who was converted. This is the country music writer who wrote a song called "Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women." But he was converted by Gideon Bible and became a music publisher.
Hmm.
And so he found the words and music of this hymn, which had not yet become popularized, and he published it. And it was during the 1954 Billy Graham Crusade in Haringey, but then especially the subsequent New York City Crusade in Madison Square Garden that George Beverly Shea and the choirs made this popular. So this really, even though it's 100, you know, it was written over a period of about 100 years and went through 3 incarnations. And it seems to us like one of the ageless classic hymns. It really came into popularity during my lifetime because of the Graham Crusades. But it's one of what I call the great creation hymns, the hymns that praise God for his creation.
Yes.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
Yeah. Amen. You write about so many hymns people will readily recognize, but you also include some people will say, "I've never seen that one in my hymn book before."
Well, of course, there are so many hymns,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of hymns that I don't know. Many hymns have been lost or are no longer widely used.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just astounded at it because Besides our Bibles, the treasury of our hymnody is the second greatest treasure trove of devotional and theological material that we have. And I keep going back to these hymns. There's one, you know, this has been a very distressful year, but there's a great hymn that says, "In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, for faith is such confiding, and nothing changes here. The storm may rage without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed?"
Yeah.
And there's times when I wake up in the morning and that hymn, which is by a wonderful female writer, Anna Waring, that hymn comes to my mind and settles my heart as I enter the day.
Robert, you've done many interviews on these books through the years, and since they've come out, you've no doubt spoken many times on these as well. What is one of those hymns that you would put in the top few where people would ask, could you tell us about that one?
Well, there's a very interesting story about one of my favorite hymns, a German hymn. You know, the hymn singing during the Middle Ages was lost to most congregations. This was during the Catholic era, and the chants came in. But it was the Germans during the Reformation that restored hymn singing to the church. And there was a great German pastor named Joachim Neander. Now, remember that last name, Neander. Joachim Neander. And he was a tremendous preacher and also a great lover of hymns. And he wrote one of my favorite all-time songs, "Praise Ye the Lord the Almighty, the King of Creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near, join me in glad adoration." And that's one of the most wonderful creation hymns. But Neander died when he was very young, and they named a valley for him. And in German, the word valley is tall. And so it was Neander Tall. And ironically, this is where the bones were found, which the early Darwinian evolutionist mistakenly identified as the bones of the missing link, the Neanderthal man, which we now know was a complete hoax and another one of the disasters of the story of evolution. But it's so ironic that the name of one of the greatest writers of the greatest creation hymn should have his name attached to one of the greatest mistakes of Darwinian evolution.
Uh-huh.
But when my wife was passing away, there was a group of German musicians who were coming through, and they met with us, and they sang that great hymn to her in German.
Mm.
And I'll never forget that moment.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. I've got just a couple more questions for our guests, and then we'll be inviting you to call in on the program as well. We're discussing the books Then Sings My Soul that have been put together by Robert Morgan, who's done the research and put so many wonderful hymn stories together and putting the hymns. We'll also tell you, we'll remind you of the website and phone number where you can obtain these during our VCY Bookstore's 24th anniversary, 45% off, but during this month here of August. And we'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Islam is on the rise all over the West, including America. In his compelling book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, author Erwin Lutzer believes that we have reached a tipping point. The spread of Islam is impacting the way we live, and this advancement of Islam poses a threat to our freedoms of speech and religion. But he says this time also offers Christians a powerful opportunity to share the gospel. In The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, Dr. Lutzer addresses several important issues, including the agenda that Islamists have for the West, how Islam's growing influence will affect you personally, and what the Church should be doing in response. He also gives a reminder that ultimately the enduring truth of the cross will prevail. Copies of the book The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent are available for a donation of $17 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829 during regular office hours. Again, that number, toll-free, is 1-800-729-9829.
Then Sings My Soul, our program topic today here on Crosstalk. Robert Morgan is our guest. A reminder, folks, this is a wonderful, wonderful three-volume set, Then Sings My Soul. There's hundreds of hymns that have been researched, plus the music is right there on the page. You could sit down at a piano and play them. You'll see that to sing them, all the words, the lyrics are there. You'll learn about the hymn writers. You'll learn about the circumstances leading up to the writing of that hymn, how it came about. Just so many hymns that are included. Again, the set is normally retail for $59.97. Our bookstore is celebrating 24 years of ministry, offering this at a 45% discount this month of August through the 31st, making it available for $33 plus any applicable tax or shipping. It does end at the end of this month, but they're available right now at vcy.com, vcy.com. You may call the bookstore 1-888-722-4829. I'd advise using the website if you can. They have just a single line going into the bookstore, and sometimes we'll get people say, oh, their line's busy. Friends, then just be patient, wait. They're open till 6 p.m. Central Time this evening, and continue to call to get through there. But what it's great for your personal devotions, your personal enrichment, but also think of gift giving to share a set of these with others, your children, your grandchildren. Folks, we need these hymns to continue to live on, and this is one way of doing that. This is passing it on even to the next generation. Robert, I understand that there was a statement that was made by John Wayne that actually was the impetus for a song that Stuart Hamblin wrote, It Is No Secret.
It is no secret what God can do. There's a very interesting story behind this, because when Billy Graham was just a young man, he wasn't very well known yet, but he went to Los Angeles, and they put up a tent, and his meetings were protracted. They kept going on week after week after week, and he was exhausted, and he finally told the committee that we just can't continue to go on. They said, but we want to. So he said, well, I'll just pray for a sign about what to do. Well, there was a very famous radio broadcaster known all up and down the West Coast named Stuart Hamblin. And Stuart slipped into one of the meetings, and the night that Dr. Graham had to make his decision about whether to continue, Stuart Hamblin called him on the phone and said, Mr. Graham, can I come and see you? And this rough and tumble cowboy disc jockey was wonderfully converted. Billy led him to faith in Christ. And so he got on his radio the next day and started touting this crusade that had changed his life. And the publisher, William Randolph Hearst, got his newspapers behind it. And that's what propelled Billy Graham to the worldwide status. Instantly, the whole world knew who he was. Well, Stuart Hamblin, after his conversion, was walking down the street, and John Wayne in Hollywood met him and said, Stuart, I hear that you've found religion. And he said, yes, Christ has changed my life. And John Wayne reportedly said, well, it's no secret what God can do. And Stuart Hamblin was inspired by that phrase to write that hymn.
Wow.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is done. Someone slipped in. You know, it's a wonderful hymn.
Yep.
It's a great old gospel song.
And that's another one. And the story in the book, folks, between the three volumes, there are some 900 pages of the hymns and the hymn stories behind them. I'd like to open our phone lines. And friends, today, maybe there's a hymn that you'd like to learn the background about. And Robert, if he knows, he'll be able to share that with us here today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Maybe you can attest to how hymns have ministered to you. 800-733-9829. Robert, you've also written hymns yourself.
Well, not a great deal, but the first two volumes, at least, I ended with a hymn. Do you know that, you know, I'm primarily a Bible teacher and a pastor, and many of the hymns came about, especially in the 1700s, hymns like Amazing Grace came about because the preacher, in that case it was John Newton, wanted to take his entire sermon and put it in the form of a poem and use it as the conclusion of his sermon. And, you know, this was the day when many of the great hymns were written by pastors and theologians and Bible students. And it came right out of their pulpit ministries. And so there have been times when I've been preaching a series of sermons, and I've been inspired by that example and tried to write some hymns myself that would sum up the sermon or the sermon series. I wish more pastors would do that today. I think it would be very enriching to get some original poems and original hymns that just flow out of the pulpit ministry of the Word of God.
Well, our guest today, again, Robert Morgan, and let's go to some phone calls. Lines are packed. We're going to begin with Don in Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a situation where I had a racquetball injury some 20 years ago. I was a baby Christian at the time, and God used it. At the cross, that song where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. So I knew the Lord was going to restore my vision. And I know if you'd like to hear what the background on that song was, At the Cross.
Well, I'm glad that you recovered well. And I know that the hymns help us in our healing. That particular hymn was written by Isaac Watts. And he is called the father of English hymnody. But his story is also very interesting. His father was a dissenter in England back in the 1700s, which meant that he was not an Anglican. He belonged to an independent congregation. And he was sometimes put in jail because of this. And when Isaac Watts was ready for college, he couldn't go to Cambridge or Oxford because he was a dissenter. He was not a member of the Anglican Church. So he went to an evangelical college, went 4 years there, got his degree. He was brilliant. He went back to his church in Northampton, England. And this was when hymns were not being sung in English churches. Only the metrical Psalms of David were being sung. And Isaac Watts, only 20, said to his dad, "The music is terrible in these churches. I want to write some new songs." And his father reportedly said, "If you think that you can do as well as King David, then go ahead and try." And he began writing hymns at the age of 20, and he later became a very prominent pastor in London. But his hymns are among the greatest, and At the Cross was one that he wrote. Another one is, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God That Made the Mountains Rise." And another great Isaac Watts hymn is, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come."
Thank you for the call here, Don. And matter of fact, that At the Cross, on page 32 of the first volume, and I noticed that the title at that time was "Alas and Did My Savior Bleed." There must have been a transition to naming it then, At the Cross.
Well, there's a couple of different musical variations of it. Mm-hmm. You know, At the Cross is the old text of Isaac Watts' hymn put to a gospel song from the 1800s. But originally this was called "Alas and Did My Savior Bleed and Did My Sovereign Die," and it was Ralph Hudson that arranged it and put the chorus on it, At the Cross.
Amen. Very good. Thank you, Don. Let's go to Annalise in Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Robert Morgan. I have, I think, your books already, and I've sent them out as gifts to many people. Especially at Christmas, I thought they were wonderful gifts to give. Mm-hmm. And thank you for coming on. I've read about you in your books, in the foreword or the prologue in your books, and I just always wished I could at least hear your voice. In my mind, I could hear your voice because I know you're from the South, and I could almost hear you speaking.
Annalise,
when
do
I
you
read
have
about
a,
you. But I wondered about a song that is written. It's an old, old song that was sung among the first people that were converted to Christ when they didn't have formal churches, and it was called "I Can't Help But Sing," when many of the Christians were being put in jail. That song was sung among them. It's not a happy song, but it's a song of praise, and it's a song of how they were singing in spite of their situation, which is sung of in the song itself. Do you know that song?
Thank you, Annalise.
Yeah, I think you're referring to a song by John Newton, who wrote "Amazing Grace." He was the slave trader. His story is absolutely amazing. And he wrote a song that is not very well known today, but it says, "I would but cannot sing. Guilt has untuned my voice. And he is referring to the fact that he just isn't ready in his spiritual life to sing until he has a new relationship with Christ. And that was, you know, that's one of the many hymns. John Newton was very prolific. He was a slave trader, and he would go back and forth across the ocean as the captain of slave ship, a vile man, but he was wonderfully converted and became a very powerful preacher in London. I've been to his church, and also an advocate for the abolition of slavery. But he wrote some of our great hymns, including Amazing Grace, and I think that this is a more obscure hymn, but I think that it's the one that you're referring to. Wow. I would, but cannot sing.
Amen. Thank you, Annalise. We've got many callers lined up on the lines right now. We're going to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. And I have a song here. I need the name of the person who wrote it. I play it everywhere I go, because I have a CD player on my cart, and every people ask me in the grocery store that works there, in the banks, everywhere I go. The name of it is Wow, You're Getting Old, Boy. The Battle Belongs to the Lord. I wasn't talking to y'all, boy. My memory goes. I couldn't think of the name
That's
of the
okay.
song.
Are you familiar with that, Robert, that the battle belongs to the Lord?
Well, that's a phrase, you know, that's very, the answer is no, I don't. That's a phrase that is very often used in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of hymns about spiritual warfare. John W. Peterson has a song called The Earth Belongs to the Lord. My guess would be that this is a newer song that maybe has come up through the gospel, country gospel song sort of genre, and I'm just not familiar with it. But that phrase is an Old Testament phrase.
Mm-hmm.
David used it, you know, when he was facing Goliath. And it is true that the battle belongs to the Lord and not to us. But that particular song, you've stumped me on that one.
Great. Thank you, Courtney, for your call. We're half a minute from the break, so rather than interrupt the next caller, we're going to be taking the break. We'll come back and take the last segment with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. A reminder that this three-book set, Then Sings My Soul, is available through the VCY bookstore and through the end of this month of August, August 31st, they're making these available at 45% off the regular retail price. It's $33 plus any applicable tax or shipping. You can go to vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. We'll be back for our final segment in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. As you know, I interviewed Pastor Rob McCoy of the Calvary Chapel Church in Ventura County that has had a court hearing and gonna have more about contempt of court charges for holding his church service. Well, here's an update. He came back on our radio show this week, and the court date has been pushed off by a couple days. But listen, folks, there was actually talk of sending in sheriff deputies to shut down the church and make sure it could not open, going so far as to send in armed sheriff deputies to do whatever was necessary to make sure this church did not open again. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like the kind of thing you'd expect in communist China or formerly behind the Iron Curtain. Thankfully, that's not happening right now. They'll have church this Sunday, but we need to continue to pray for Pastor Rob and his church, because he's standing for churches across America. Because, as one has said, what happens in California, well, so goes the rest of the nation if we're not careful.
is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, What a Blessing, Then Sings My Soul. Robert, you did a little bit of digging during the break.
Yes, I was right about the song coming out of the gospel, the 20th century gospel music. It's called The Battle is the Lord's by Yolanda, Y-O-L-A-N-D-A, Yolanda Adams. And it says, there is no pain Jesus can't feel. There is no hurt that he can't heal. So The Battle is the Lord's by Yolanda Adams.
Let's go to Sharon calling from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi. I play the organ at our church, and for the last 2 months, I've been using this book, Then Sings My Soul. It has 150 of the world's greatest hymn stories.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same one that you're talking about?
Yes. I don't know which volume you have. He's got volume 1, volume 2, and volume 3.
Okay. I don't see any volume on it at all. It just says Robert.
Okay. That's probably the first volume, Robert?
Yes,
okay.
That would be the first volume. So you'll want to, I don't believe how Jim got this great price from my publisher. I've never seen these books that cheaply. So you ought to order the set, and then you can give the first volume away to somebody else since you already have it.
Okay. What is the number to the bookstore?
That's 1-888-722-4829.
4829.
Right.
And I did tell you that for the last 2 months I've been singing songs out of this book to our church.
That is great. Thank you, Sharon. And, these are really inspirational in that regard. And sharing them with church family, and that's why it's great for song leaders that can share a hymn story even before introducing a hymn for the church. Gives so much meaning to it. Bob in Elroy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, this hymn book that I've been trying to find a combination of all these hymns because I, too, am an organist, a pianist, and a saw player, and I use all these, and I'm trying to find more, and I wake up in the morning, and one of these Fanny Crosby hymns, like, I think it was Leaning on the Everlasting Arms is one, Blessed Assurance, and some of these all come to my mind when I wake up in the morning, so they're really a blessing to me, and I am going to call the bookstore and get all three of them.
Great. Thank you, Bob. And, yeah, it's a great collection, and I know they'll be a blessing to you. We've got Maxine calling from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Sure. Thank you. I'd like to know the story behind a favorite song, What a Day That Will Be.
Well, there's a couple of songs by that title. One is What a Day. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye.
And that's
the other one is
that's the one
when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout to victory. So there's a couple of songs. I think you probably are thinking the first one, there's coming a day, and that is a song for which I am not as familiar with as I should be. It's been done an awfully lot by the Gaithers. I think it was popularized by them, but I don't know too much about the story behind that hymn. You've given me one to look up and one to study.
Looks like a fourth volume coming out someday. Thank you for the call here, Maxine.
I'm making notes, yes.
Cheryl is calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Well, I'm just excited. I just ordered the series, and I can't wait to get it. I play the piano at our church. But I have a concern. Over the past couple of years, we have pretty much exclusively switched over to very modern music. I call them 7-11 songs, 7 words for 11 minutes. And frequently on the bulletin, you'll see like Amazing Grace or something. You think, oh, great, we're going to sing something that I know, and the tune will have been changed. And I always say it's dumbed down to like 4 notes. Very not melodic anymore, and I don't know really what can a person do about a situation like that.
I am convinced that we've got to have old and new music together, because this is the way the Book of Psalms was put together. When you read the Book of Psalms, the oldest psalm was Psalm 90. it was written by Moses. But then, late in the Psalms, there are some Psalms that clearly were written after the Jews returned from exile 1,000 years later. So in God's own hymn book, which is in the book of Psalms, I mean, that is the hymn book of the Hebrews, 150 of them, there are very old songs and there are very new songs. And when they were compiled together, it was songs both old and new. And Jesus said that a wise man brings out of his storehouse treasures both old and new. So I think that our older people very badly sometimes need to sing the newer music, but our younger people very badly need to sing the older music and to be acquainted with the great hymns.
And you're saying,
and I would just make that case everywhere I could.
Yeah, and one of the things we're in danger today is losing the great hymns of the faith, as you point out, Cheryl. And so this program here today is Help Resurrect Those. Let's go to Earl in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was interested in the story behind Beyond the Sunset. I had heard it was written by a World War II pilot that was being sent on a mission which he didn't expect to come back.
Okay, Earl, we're down to 60 seconds, and I know you do cover this in your first volume, Robert, page 292 and 3.
Yes, this is a more recent song. It was written by Homer Rodehieber. Well, it was published by Homer Rodehieber. The words were by Virgil Brock, and it was written, it was coming out of the Great Billy Sunday Crusades. When Rodehieber was publishing and popularizing so many great hymns, and Virgil Brock with his wife and a friend saw a beautiful sunset, and his friend said, "My, that sure is a beautiful sunset," and out of that came this hymn, Beyond the Sunset. Virgil Brock is the author. His wife wrote the music. And the interesting thing is that it came about as they were describing the sunset to a blind man. And so the vividness of the hymn is reflected in their endeavor to help even the blind to see how beautiful the sunset is and how wonderful it will be beyond the sunset when we get to heaven.
Amen. I'm sorry, Earl, we've run out of time, but that's a glimpse into what's uncovered in Volume 1 of his book. And, folks, again, these are available, vcy.com, $33, 45% off through August 31st, or call them at 1-888-722-4829. Robert, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.